Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two officially underway here for the early line on a Wednesday morning. Sirius XM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Joe and Don. You know, we're talking about the NFL. Are they playing games now? No, they are not. Did they just have the draft? Yes, they did. When did training camp start? Well, it's not going to be till the end of July. But the NFL has me up in arms once again here, Joe, because as we stated, sometimes they tweak things they shouldn't be tweaking here. It used to be, hey, look at this. You can't kick it to Devin Hester. The guy's a game changer now, turning into why even have a kick returner? Because every football ends up in the back of the end zone and no returns come out. So the NFL goes, hey, you know what? Special teams coordinators, Joe, getting pretty swift now. They're actually kicking the ball inside the five, but not into the end zone. So you have to return it, and you have a great chance of pinning that back deep. So the NFL goes like, oh, that might increase concussions here. So let's take that out of the game and just have a fair catch all over the place. Some of my favorite stuff on the fair catch, Joe, is you can actually have a fair catch on an onside kick when the ball hits the ground and pops up in the air. First of all, what are we doing with the kickoffs? Why are we messing with it? And is there a need, Joe Ranieri, to even do this?
Listen, just start with the ball in the 25. I don't know why go through the pageantry of lining up and getting there just so a guy can fair catch a ball at the 18-yard line. And, oh, yeah, you still get it at the 25. So I don't even know what this rule is. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard ever. They do this in college, Donnie. College. You are now implementing college rules into the professional ranks. So I don't understand what's going on here. So you mean to tell me if that, as long as I'm inside the 25-yard line, as long as I throw my hand up, if I'm at the 3, oh, fair catch, I'm going to now get it at the 25-yard line. It just complete. You're taking an entire facet of the game out of the game, and now all of a sudden there's less opportunities for comebacks. There's less opportunities for guys to be able to, hey, how many times have we seen, Donnie, you know, pin a guy close, pin him here, fumble, return, nothing. We get absolutely nothing these days.
And I wouldn't mind if the NFL was just truthful and says, look, man, we're just going to take kickoffs out of the game. I can live with it. But the fact that you're just trying to limit it where it's basically, why are we kicking off anymore? And you're right, just wasting our time out here as opposed to just a ceremonial kickoff because that's what we're used to in a football game. Just put it at the 25. If anybody has ever followed me on Twitter, just watch one Sunday afternoon where I watch the Eagles and say, okay, cut the first kick returner that tries to return a ball that's 3 yards into the end zone, knowing that you get it at the 25. Because how many times have you bet a team or just you're watching and you get annoyed? They take the kick 5 yards deep into the end zone. They get tackled at the 17, and there's a holding penalty, which brings them back to the 7-yard line to start the drive when all they had to do was not touch the football and get it at the 25-yard line. It's interesting where this is going. So I do want to ask you this question. Will we see the kicking game disappear? Now, it's going to be hard to do with field goals because of how big that is a part of the game. But is there going to come a time also we say, like, why are we punting? On 4th and 20, you could just say, okay, we're not going to play anymore. Move the football 45 yards downfield, and the other team gets the ball, and away they go. Are we close, Joe, to actually seeing kickoffs and punts out of the NFL?
How many more times are you going to mess with the kickoffs altogether? I mean, and listen, I mean, they're doing it because they've been trying to do this for a while now, Donnie, right? They want to cut down on the amount of contact that happens in kickoffs where you basically have freight trains running down. I get it, right? And you don't want that kind of, you know, small car crash collision going on often. Mm-hmm. But you're taking a huge portion of the game away. Is it the same game, Donnie? If we don't have kicking, let me ask you that. Is it the same game? Is it everything changes then, doesn't it?
Yep. You bring up a pretty good point as we welcome in the radio audience. You're watching and listening live to the Early Line on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. It's Joe and Donnie here in the morning. I think you bring up a good point, too, because there are some ulterior motives here. Let's just say, what is it, 55, I believe, are active on game. That used to be 52. I think they raised it up, and now maybe an emergency quarterback even on top of that. Let's just say the salaries are increasing every year in the NFL, Joe, which they are doing. And those final 11 or 12 roster spots, they're typically third-string guys who do what? Play special teams. So are the owners in those back room meetings going to this stuff going like, you know what? Their average salary for those 11 guys is $1 million a piece a year. That's 11 guys on the roster we might not need, times $11 million by 32 rosters. And the NFL owner goes, if we take out the kicking game, we can save even more money. So there are some other things that just that quote unquote, hey, we're trying to be safety regulators here and we just don't want to have extra concussions. Any thoughts on that where the owners go, hey, our bottom line can improve if we take out the kicking game?
Yeah. Well, what's going to stop them? If I'm, and you know Belichick's doing this, right? So, okay. So you mean to tell me you're going to give guys an opportunity to catch it at the 3 and get it at the 25? I'm squib kicking it. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now, Donnie, if I line drive it and it bounces three times now, right? Can't fair catch it. There is no fair catch. So they are going to figure out a way around it to keep this in the game. And I am all for it here. Do not mess with the game. And that's exactly what they're doing.
It used to be, like, again, I'm 45, so I think I'm old, but technically I'm not that old. In the 80s and 90s, you would always hear special teams are a third of the game. It's very important that your kicking game is sound because that could be the difference between a win and a loss. Take that out. Now it's just about winning with Patrick Mahomes as the way it feels like here. It is what it is in the NFL. They're going to make changes whether we like it or not. But coming up next, let's do a check-in here in the National League. Who's going to win some of those divisions? Who's ripe at a good price that Joe and I might take? Come on back and find out. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, more Major League Baseball here on the docket in hour number two. We're going to take a look at where some of the divisions lie in the National League. Yesterday, we did the American League, and then also we got some really good afternoon Major League Baseball action and a couple segments of handicapping to see if we can find some of those nice little intricacies to help put some money in your pocket. Let's get to it, though, in the National League here, because if we talk about the Central, it's a logjam up top here. The Milwaukee Brewers, 26-22 on the season. The Pittsburgh Pirates, 25-23. The Chicago Cubs, 21-26. Those Cardinals, too talented here to be 22-28. And the Cincinnati Reds bringing up the rear at 20-28. But if you look at the standings here, the Cardinals have made a big move here, Joe, in the last week alone. About a 380-390 price on them just a week ago, down to plus 210. The Brewers, who are in first place, are at a minus 130 price. If we just take a look at that division with the standings here, do you agree the Milwaukee Brewers should be the favorite here at a minus 130 price at this point?
No, absolutely not. Do not trust the Brewers. The only team, and listen, the Cardinals were off to such a ridiculously bad start for any team that we considered contenders before the season started. They gave so much up right away, right? And that is now propped up the Milwaukee Brewers, who I faded to start the year here, Donnie. I took under their win total because I thought for sure this was going to be, there's going to be a dismantling. Corbin Burns, unhappy there. You can tell he's getting lit up. He wants out. I think by the trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of moving on from certain pieces on that team here. So the Cardinals, they're going to be just fine from what we've seen from them. And Donnie, quite honestly, at plus money right now, How much longer is that going to be there when they keep playing like this?
Yeah, it's disappearing because I think we're on the same wavelength here, Joe, both you and I. The talent is going to rise to the top, and it's not as if you have to surpass the Rays or the Yankees to get ahead.
Right.
It's the Milwaukee Brewers. Solid pitching staff, decent bullpen, not a great lineup. If the Cardinals just get some decent pitching, you saw yesterday, they didn't even have decent pitching. They were terrible with Wainwright on the mound, but that lineup, when they wake up and right, that's the best 1-9, certainly, in that division here. Let's flip it over to the NL East. Very competitive here with the Atlanta Braves here, sitting up top of this division at 29-19, followed by the Mets, one game over 500. Also the Marlins, one game under 500. The Phillies, four games under 500. Then the Nationals coming up at 20-28, which sounds bad, but quite honestly, seeing the Nationals with 20 wins is kind of impressive here based on what I thought this season was going to turn into. But when you're looking at favorites, we just talked about a Milwaukee Brewers team at a minus 130 price. Take a look at the Braves, a minus 490 for the season here. Take a look at the Mets, plus 600. The Philadelphia Phillies, 10-1. The Marlins, 65-1, and those Nationals, 250-1. Do you agree with that price point on the Atlanta Braves at the end of May to be almost a minus 500 favorite in the NL East?
Well, boy, that could switch in a hurry. But I will say this. I mean, the Braves are down a number of high-quality players here that could very well be back for them, and things are going to change, right? So especially in the rotation. So the fact, and I, just to give you an idea, this at this time last year, Donnie, this Braves team was 22-24. And they were not put, it looked like it was going hard left, and it was like, oh boy, you know, Freddie Freeman said, well, they eventually figured it out here. Now they have figured it out, but they're doing it with less than, you know, where's Max Fried coming up? Where's Kyle Wright? Where is Soroka coming? They've got some guys on the sideline, Donnie, that could make an appearance here throughout the season. And this number is only going to get, you know, it's only going to move towards them here. So I agree with it because they're doing it without their top end guys. And I think it only gets better once they come back.
Take a look at the Philadelphia Phillies at a 10-1 price here. Now, this is a pretty good one, but it just seems like the MO of the Philadelphia Phillies, even though how talented they are, if they get right, they usually don't get right till like August, get hot, make a wild card, and then see if they can do some damage. It's almost like the Phillies aren't built to be a dominant team throughout the baseball season. You just want them to be hot enough at the right time because they are talented. But I take a look at the Mets. Like, I'm expecting them to make moves with Cohen as their ownership group. It's just a stark contrast because I do think the Braves, Joe, overall are the best team in the division. But right now, it's like, boy, do I want to lay, you know, $490 to get a $100 return in 4 to 5 months at this point? Probably not. I would be looking more towards the Mets and possibly the Phillies, but more towards the Mets in their direction. If Scherzer and Verlander get right, they add another piece. That lineup is too good to be held down with the record that they currently have now. So we'll see how it plays out, but I think we can agree the Atlanta Braves certainly the best team overall. Checking out the NL West right now. Let's look at the standings there. The Dodgers at 31-19 in first place. The Diamondbacks currently in Philadelphia and playing well at 29-20. The San Francisco Giants even at 24-24. The Padres, four games under 500, and the Colorado Rockies at 21-28. The disappointment, I guess you could probably say here, would be the Padres. The surprises, the Giants and the Diamondbacks playing good baseball. No surprise here that the Dodgers are ultra talented here and in first place. But if we line those up with the odds, we talked about now an Atlanta Braves team close to 5-1 as a favorite here, or minus 500 price as a favorite in the NL. You take a look now in the West, the Dodgers are a minus 550 price. But you know what? It actually seems right. Who's betting against the Dodgers to lose this division?
Well, it was funny. They went on this this little road trip here to Dodgers, and we wanted to, you know, this we thought was going to be a good litmus test. So they go to St. Louis, and they lose 3 out of 4. Then we're like, oh, boy, here it comes, right? Back to reality, because now they got to go to Atlanta, and then after Atlanta, they got to go to Tampa, Donnie, right? So what happens? Yeah. Oh, look at this. They just wiped the Atlanta team. So, it's so funny to me that the Dodgers are going to be just fine. The bigger surprise here is how bad the Padres are, but I can't sleep on the Diamondbacks. I didn't sleep on them to start the season. I thought this was a team that was absolutely going to overperform expectations. It's exactly what they're doing here, Donnie. While the Dodgers are the class, the overvalued hype of the Padres is laughable, but we're undervaluing still the Arizona Diamondbacks team here and what they've been able to do. And I don't know that it's going to change anytime soon here, Donnie.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, because the Diamondbacks, you look at the lineup, it's got a lot of switch hitters, a lot of lefties that can match up very well against right-handers, but also look at their frontline pitching there, particularly with Zach Gallen, one of the favorites to be a Cy Young Award candidate here in the NL. So things certainly check up, but the Dodgers, it's hard to bet against them. Why? Because they're always the favorite. And we know the Dodgers have an endless amount of prospects. Like, hey, we're really damaged in our starting five here for our pitching staff. Let's just bring up a rookie that might not be ready. They're always ready, it seems like, for the Dodgers. Throughout the last 40 years, the Dodgers bringing up pitching prospects seems to work out in their favor. Now, let's take a look here for the league winners in the National League and see if we can get some value, because we talked about a lot of these teams that are leading, like the Atlanta Braves and the Dodgers, here, minus money to win the division. Well, at least you can get some plus money now if you're looking for the league. The Dodgers, the favorite currently here at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 2-1 price. The Atlanta Braves close behind at a plus 230. Then we sort of see that ledge here with the Mets at 850, the Padres at 900, and the Phillies at 12-1. The fun part about this is, as you just talked about, the Phillies 10-1 to win the division. They're only 12-1 to win the National League. How does that make sense? Because if they're hot at the end of the season, you get into a short series, the Phillies have frontline starting pitching and a lot of superstars in that lineup. So do the New York Mets if Scherzer and also Verlander are healthy. Talk to me about this market here. Are the Dodgers or the Braves a runaway, or are you looking for a little bit more out of that bang for your buck from some of these teams?
Well, you know, you can't go with the chalk here, because we both agree that the Dodgers and the Braves are the class of the National League. They should be where they are, right? The West and the East. Mm-hmm. So where is the value someplace else? Well, Diamondbacks we talked about, Cards we've talked about here. Donnie, you said it. How is this Phillies team different than the one that ran the tables last year? Not looks kind of like the same team, right? So, and we also know it doesn't happen until the second half of the year. So there is some value in those markets, just not up at the top of that. Those are three teams. If you're going to take a shot, those are three teams to invest in.
I agree. And you see the Cardinals down there too, sitting there at 16-1. It's all about how healthy you can be at the end of the season with your pitching staff and how hot you are. And certainly the matchup that you get once you hit the playoffs. But you know what? The matchups, they're fantastic today in Major League Baseball. A lot of afternoon action. The next two segments, we're getting after the biggest games on the card today. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Afternoon, Major League Baseball today. Who says no? Certainly not these two guys, as we get into it this afternoon. And start in the city of Pittsburgh today. How about this? A 12:35 start in the rubber match between the Texas Rangers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Oviedo is going to be on the mound here for the Pittsburgh Pirates, going up against Mr. Martin Perez. Now, if we take a look at these two pitchers, not very good there XFIP-wise the past 30 days here for Perez, coming in at a 5.56 XFIP number. Oviedo at a 5.81. Yesterday, we saw the Texas Rangers bounce back with a 6-1 victory. Are we looking for more of the same today from the Texas Rangers as a favorite here in Pittsburgh?
Well, anybody that has bet Martin Perez here over the last couple of years, especially this season, realizes I'll bet him at home. You ain't betting him on the road, because he is awful on the road. North of 5, I believe, on the ERA. He's given up 8 home runs in 30 innings on the road. So he's got a 1.93 ERA without a single home run at home. So you see the home-road dichotomy there, and you're like, nope, I'm not betting the Rangers and Perez anytime soon. Meanwhile, Oviedo, what is he? It's 0 or 1 runs, I believe, in what, 5 of his 8 starts here? He is at home. To me, there's a big advantage pitching-wise in this spot early. So it's Pirates first 5 for me here, Don.
This will be interesting to see, too, because today, yesterday was a little bit cooler temperatures. In Pittsburgh, first pitch today, 79 degrees with a light wind blowing out to center field. We'll see if that makes a difference today between these two lineups, because Pittsburgh yesterday didn't profile that well against right-handed pitching, but against left-handed pitching, they got, let's just see, anticipated lineup, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys with elevated ISO power numbers and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with elevated weighted on-base percentages here. So maybe Perez might be in a little trouble. trouble to start this game. We can certainly check that out. City of Brotherly Love, some more afternoon Major League Baseball action. 76 degrees here in Philadelphia with a light wind blowing from left foul pole to right foul pole. If we're lining this baseball game up today, it's Zach Gallen on the mound against Ranger Suarez. Now, you're looking at the price point and saying, oh, that's interesting. The Arizona Diamondbacks here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a slight favorite here at a minus 120 price. Ranger Suarez was a very good pitcher for the Phillies last year, has limited starts this year, hasn't looked very good. The total's at 8.5. Are we just going to ride? Because Zach Gallen's a good pitcher. He actually needs a bounce-back performance in this game. Who are we giving the nod to? A slight favorite for the D-backs with Zach Gallen on the bump.
Yeah, you gotta give him his props here. A nice bounce back spat for him. And again, the thing that disappoints us about the Phillies, and you know this, is their ability not to put the ball in play. They strike out far too often, especially against right-handed pitchers. They're not making things happen. And they can't put too many guys here are either swinging for the fences or they can't put the ball in play, which is what you need to do with no shift, Donnie. But unfortunately, the Phillies rank somewhere around that 19th or 20th in a league. They were no good at it last year either. And Gallen is probably not the guy that you want to do a whole lot of swinging and missing and striking out against. So he is poised for that spot. I do think it's an under game. I think Suarez, too, should be able to limit some of the damage here. They don't strike out a lot, the Diamondbacks, but also I don't see a whole lot of runs being scored in this game when the Phillies trying to do anything to claw a win out here. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game like we've seen in this series thus far.
Yeah, the Phillies certainly no strangers to not hitting with runners in scoring position. They were a disaster on that West Coast road trip and certainly not helping them out in this one now at home with the Diamondbacks. Also, take a look at Suarez. He has 32 batters he's faced from the right side. Suarez is a left-handed pitcher. Hasn't done very well, 439. But here's where the crux of the argument comes in on whether you think this game can go over the total. Told you that it is nice weather conditions in Philadelphia. The first four batters in that lineup, elevated weighted on base percentages, but the final five due up here, ridiculously bad numbers. 255, 289, 090, 236, 172. Good luck there. So if Suarez can have a bounce back performance there to be similar to the pitcher he was last year, then we're probably looking at it under. Because I'm with you. Like, Zach Gallen is good enough to tie the Philadelphia Phillies bats up here. It's just a matter of Ranger Suarez also performing at that point. Astros and the Brewers. Belak's going to be on the mound here for the Astros. It's going to be Hauser on the mound for the Brewers. How about this split at the FanDuel Sportsbook? Minus 108 if you want to take the Houston Astros. Minus 108 if you want to take the Milwaukee Brewers. A total listed at 9. Stroh's Brewers back at it today.
All right, I'll bet this game, Donnie, if you can tell me which Astros team shows up here. Is it the Astros lineup
that
smashed them 12-2 two nights ago? Or is it the Astros lineup that couldn't scratch a run out yesterday and lost 6-0? Because I have no idea. Just when I thought I get a handle on this Astros team, they throw games like they did last night into the mix, and we're going, you've got to be absolutely kidding me. Now they got Adrian Hauser on the mound. If you can't score against Hauser, I don't know what to say. The fact that we can get them at this kind of price is going to force me, unfortunately, to have to bet Houston. And I'm going to have to hope here, Donnie, that the lineup from a couple of nights ago is the one that I get here against Hauser in this one today.
Yeah, here's the good part about it as well. If you're looking for a total in this game, because again, it's hard to do it with Milwaukee because they're similar to the Houston Astros. Hey, look at that. Scored a lot of runs last night in the next game, getting two hits, one by Yelich and one by Telez, and that was it. But if we're looking at Belak, he's been bad over the past 30 days in Major League Baseball. 4.47 xFIP, which is slightly elevated. But look at this. Left-handed batters. Belak, again, is a right-handed pitcher. 395 weighted on base percentage against him from lefties and righties, a 389. So you would think that the Milwaukee Brewers would be able to hit today, and also maybe the Astros waking up. I'm taking a look at it, or excuse me, a peek here at the Astros lineup anticipated for today. It doesn't look like it has Jose Altuve in there, but the guys that need to step up, like Yordan Alvarez against right-handed pitching, he's been fine. He's been everything you need him to be. Jose Abreu is a big signing coming over to them. It was supposed to be one of those rocks in the middle of the lineup. Take a look at him against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. 60 at bats, an 036 ISO power number, and a weighted on base percentage of 243. Kyle Tucker, 093 through 63 at bats for ISO power number, and also weighted on base percentage of 249. This is a lineup that we expected to do a lot more damage, floundering right now. But as we like to say, they're the Astros. They'll probably get it together. They'll probably win more baseball games. So certainly keep an eye out for that one. The Giants and the Twins, DeSclafani and Ryan, a 111 start here on the East Coast, a favorite here for the Twins at a minus 172 price and a total really low at 7.5. Yesterday I talked about a decent under shot there in Minnesota. It did stay under the total. This one even lower at 7.5. What are we looking at from your perspective between the Giants and the Twins today, Joe?
Well, we're talking about two guys that have had pretty good success thus far here in the starting pitcher role between them. So this is one of those, the Twins, feels like they've been out on the West Coast for how long now? Feels like forever here. But they're going to wrap up this this series here against the Giants today. Early game. Don't forget, what is it, an hour behind? It's like a 12 o'clock game, I think, here. And they are going to, I believe, with Ryan, who got lit up his last time out. Well, didn't get lit up, but didn't win, I think, because I had a ticket on him, and it kind of screwed me up over there. So I do think that DeSclafani is a guy that will keep the ball in the ballpark. I think Ryan is a guy that'll have no problem. The Giants can't hit lefties. I think they'll be okay against Ryan. This whole thing screams under 7.5. It screams first five under. It screams full game under. Although you mentioned it yesterday. What the hell was the weather in Minnesota yesterday? The temperature was like 80. Like, what was going on with the weather? And what are we looking at today at what, noon, 12 o'clock their time?
I guess everybody there had in Minneapolis just opened their doors and turned their heaters on just to get some heat into that city. Because today we're about 10 degrees lower at 71 degrees with a wind blowing dead in from center field. We'll see how it plays. But I do think both of those pitchers decently matched up today. We'll see how that plays out. Let's get to the next game here. The Cardinals and the Reds. Matts will be on the mound against Lively, a minus 164 favorite here from Matts and the Cardinals. And how about this? Did we move this game, Joe Ranieri, to Coors Field? We're sitting at an 11 this morning at the FanDuel Sportsbook. What?
I don't even, I mean, I granted, Great American Ballpark, I get it.
My goodness.
It's always been an overpark. The ball trap, I get it. Matt's also, by the way, going for the Cards here. It's had some rough outings over here. So, listen, if we were going to get any sort of production from this Cincinnati lineup, I mean, they scored five runs last night, still got ended up getting blown out here. They got to get to Matts, right? I mean, I wouldn't go near this total, but I might consider the Reds either on the money line or the run line here to at least get to Matts here and maybe do some damage early in a first five situation.
The lineup always looks good for the Cardinals. That's never been the issue. Yeah. We're waiting for the pitching to come back here for the Cardinals. But Lively, over the past 30 days, his numbers, Joe, are really good. A 3.46 xFIP number, K rate at 25%, not walking batters. And take a look at his splits. 20 batters he's faced from the left side, being a right-handed pitcher. A 130 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of zero. Perfect. Take a look at from the right side. 21 batters here, 249 weighted on base percentage and an ISO of 150. That's great. And also, you talk about Matt. Not very good over the past. Matter of fact, it's always like we talk about Matt. Like, hey, he gets lit up from the right side, which he does. Yeah, he a 362 weighted on base percentage. It's not a great lineup for the Reds, Joe, but I'm looking at their lineup estimated today. All nine batters from the right side. We get some runs, right? But you need 11? You need 11 runs here. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no Helsley or Gallegos, by the way, for the Cards. They pitched the last two games, so that bullpen's a little thin for them.
Amazing. We'll see what happens in that game, but we do know it's a small ballpark. But when did it turn to Coors East? More Major League Baseball on deck coming up next. The Rays and the Jays. Are we getting a ton of runs in this game? Are the Jays going to get shut down? Are the Rays going to bounce back? There's a lot to get into. Make sure you keep the dial right here. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. We're talking Major League Baseball preview part two today. A lot of massive games and the things that I like in the middle of the afternoon, a lot of Major League Baseball to have fun with. Now, yesterday, my same game parlay went up in smoke. No thanks to Malcolm Brogdon, who decided, even though they scored 116 points for the Celtics, I don't need to make any 3-point shots in that game. So today, we're coming back. It's Joe. It's Donnie. It's the same game parlay at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Three legs for me today, Joe Ranieri. We're going to keep it short, sweet, and simple from one Major League Baseball game. And I named my parlay today, Thank You, Oakland, because Oakland and the Athletics are the gift that keeps on giving here, and they will give me a victory tonight. The price on this one, a plus 290. Let's break it down. We're just going to use one batter here to do some damage. It's Jared Kelenic here. Through 28 at-bats in the last 30 days against left-handed pitching, who my guy Waldichuk is on the mound today for the Oakland Athletics. He has a 333 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage, a team best, 385. So let's use him in this equation. Kelenic to get two or more bases, which means two singles gets the job done, a home run gets the job done, a triple gets the job done. You get the picture here. Two bases, first leg here. Also for Kelenic, an RBI tonight, which means solo home run counts, a pop fly to right field 310 feet that drives in a run. That gets me in on leg number two. And leg number three, which should be the easiest of all, just to beat the Oakland Athletics? Yeah, I'll take that. A plus 290 price, Kelenic, two plus bases, Kelenic with an RBI, and the Mariners money line today. That's where I'm going at close to 3-1, Joe. How about you tonight?
All right. Like that, Donnie. I like that a lot. Thank you very much, Oakland. A gift that keeps giving. I have to give that to my girl, see what she thinks of it. So let's see what we got here. The same game parlay. I'm going to go to your neck of the woods there, Donnie, with your Phillies here today. And we talked about this game earlier. I've got three legs on it as well. And I'm going to start with Zach Gallen on a mound, a nice bounce back spot. With his over strikeout prop, 6.5 is what the number is, and he has recorded at least 7 strikeouts in 5 of his past, I believe, 8 starts. So we know the kind of season he's been having. We referenced it earlier. The Phillies tend to have a problem swinging and missing. Gallen's missing some bats here. And when you look at the 7 of the 9 hitters that are projected in this Phillies lineup, guys, have a K percentage north of 22%. So the strikeouts are going to be there for Gallen if he is on today. We also talked about Ranger Suarez being able to limit. I think he's in a great bounce back spot as well. I think the runs are going to be hard to come by. Another low scoring game here. So the under 8.5 for me. And of course, that means chances are we're going to have a tie, Donnie, going in to the second inning here. So first inning tie. Give me Gallen over to strikeouts and give me the under for the game at plus 449, Donnie. I'm feeling good about that.
Now, that's impressive. Afternoon action in the city of brotherly love. Let's just see if we could take down some plus money by the end of this day. I do believe it's going to happen. Now, taking some plus money down, could it be the Blue Jays? Could it be the Rays? Could it be a ton of hits here coming once again? Well, you know I'm going to call this game role reversal. Toronto and Tampa Bay. McClanahan's on the mound, the left-handed pitcher here. Cy Young favorite in the American League at an xFIP of 4.47, which is slightly high, but he does have some pretty good splits. Dominating left-handed batter. And righties at a 320, which is slightly below average, so still doing his job. But I want to flip it over and focus here on the bats that should come to play today for the Tampa Bay Rays. Kikuchi, a 525 xFIP over the past 30 days. He can't get right-handed batters out to save his life. He is going to see a ton of them today. Bounce back performance for the Rays. Do you believe it, Joe?
Not only bounce back, run line bounce back here.
Oh, Johnny. There we
run
go.
Run line. Yeah. Up it. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're taught. Lay the run and a half. Expect Tampa to get even here with their ace on the mound, who has done pretty good against the Blue Jays in his career. 2.65, 37 and a third innings. He did already beat Toronto in Toronto, I believe, back in the middle of April. 1 run over 6 innings. I'm kind of shocked this thing didn't open up at north of $2 here, but I still think the run line is the way to go. And that means, yes, An over is in store here for this game. Keep it rolling, Donnie. Just keep them overs rolling at the drop.
Yep, here's what you want to see. A position player, Joe, pitching in the ninth inning. You know you did your job and did it well. You're taking a total to the over. Let's take a look at the Orioles and the Yankees. Wells versus Cortez on the mound. 7:06 start Eastern here. A favorite for the Yankees at a -136 price and a total that's listed at 8.5. Cortez hasn't been very good, but he is the favorite here. And should he be, Joe?
Well, he should, but here's the other issue again. I thought the under was not a bad play in a cool evening last night with the wind blowing in. Donnie, I think it's the same thing here again tonight. Temperatures in the mid-60s. It looks like we've got double-digit winds that are coming in as well. So, you know, I don't want to get burned twice, but I'm still going to go with Nasty Nestor and Tyler Wells having some success against these lineups here and give me the under in this one here, Donnie. A little less runs here in this one than we saw in game one.
Yankee fans and backers really enjoyed Nestor Cortez last year. Not so much this year. Last 30 days here for Nestor Cortez, the lefty on the mound, a 5.76 xFIP. And if you take a look at his splits, bad both sides. To lefties, a 4.36 weighted on base percentage, and the weighted on base percentage to righties at a 3.52. It certainly hasn't helped that at all. Maybe we get runs, maybe we don't, but also some weather conditions that we might be looking at that certainly aren't going to help the batters at the plate. Let's take a look at the next game, the Mets and the Cubs. Senga actually got pushed back a day. This Mets got smoked yesterday, so hopefully Senga can get them back in the win column. We'll take on Marcus Stroman today at a -120 favorite for Marcus Stroman and the Chicago Cubs. The total listed at 6.5 for this one. 6.5 in Chicago. You know what that means, Joe. The wind ain't blowing out today.
That is absolutely bonkers, that number there. But Senga,
it is.
You know, here's the other problem with Senga. Which one shows up? We know he has had some starts, and he know the stuff is electric, and we know he could be downright unhittable. And then we also know that he has no problem loading up the bases every inning because he can't throw a strike. So it's kind of hit or miss with him, very volatile. I love Stroman in this spot here. I love the way he keeps the ball down, keeps the ball in the ballpark, obviously. I do think the better hitting team is the Cubs here. I agree with the low total, quite honestly, if Senga is on. If not, this is going to be a very interesting game for the New York Mets, who the bats weren't there last night, were they, Donnie? I don't know that they show up here tonight against Stroman either.
53 degrees at first pitch than anticipated, with 20-mile-an-hour winds that are blowing in from center field in Wrigley. Now, granted, it is a 6.5 here, but nobody ever said, Joe, you can't hit singles and doubles to try to get runs pushed across the plate. We'll see if it matters. But as we know, you don't even have to check the weather. When you see Wrigley Field with a total of around 10, you know what's going on. When you see it at 6.5, you know exactly the opposite of what's going on with the wind that are blowing out. The Marlins and the Rockies, that's going to be El Contra on the mound here, and Kaufman on the mound for the Rockies. The favorite in this game, it's no surprise. It's the Marlins at a -178 price. And yes, we're in Coors Field. Not the warmest temperatures here, but still that thin air is going to be around. The total listed at 11. Kaufman shouldn't technically be in the major leagues at this point, but they are so depleted, talking about the Rockies in their starting rotation, they have to bring anybody up. He got smashed by the Texas Rangers. Is he going to get smashed again tonight, Joe Ranieri?
Well, it was interesting because he didn't get smashed the first three innings because he blew them.
I was watching.
Then,
yep, you're right.
Yeah, and then it kind of melted down in the fourth inning there a little bit for him. But again, you said it though. Is this kid really that they had no choice but to bring him up? He did pitch for Michigan, I believe, in the College World Series. So I think the nerves are out of it now, Donnie. Now that he's been there and done that, I think we're going to get a much better start out of him here. And Sandy, love him. But you talk about a team that has no idea what they're doing with this guy here. They're ultimately going to leave him in for an inning too long. They're not going to go to the bullpen, and they're going to allow the Rockies to eventually win this game at plus money, which is why I'm backing them.
Whoa, there you go. Plus money action on the Rockies at home at a plus 150 here. Red Sox and the Angels. Don't the Red Sox feel like they're dead to me right now? They hurt me. Rolling over in the middle of the night saying they didn't do any damage at all against the Angels. I wasn't happy with that. But take a look at the total today at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A 9.5. Paxton, limited start to be on the mound here for the Boston Red Sox. Anderson with a really high xFIP over the past 30 days. What gives in this game? A slight favorite here to the Red Sox.
Well, Tyler Anderson looks like he has turned a corner here and has started to figure some things out after a rough start to the season. We're looking at about, I mean, this was a guy that was an all-star pitcher, what, a year ago here, was downright unhittable. Now, all of a sudden, he's, I think, three or few runs in last four starts. He started to calm down. It was a rough go of it. But he's also facing now a Red Sox lineup that, let's face it, Donnie, it's a little regression happening here. They scored, what, one run in the last three games? I think mm-hmm. they have played yes. way above their pay grade here so far. And I think what we're starting to see is things level out with this lineup here a little bit. Plus, they're on the road. You know, if this was in Fenway, it'd be a little different story. I agree with the Angels. Play here. I think Anderson is going to get it done against Paxton. Can you believe he's still in the league? He actually looked pretty good in the last start there. But yeah, I just don't trust him here on the road against the Angels. I'll back them to get it done here against the Red Sox.
Final game on the docket. If you're staying up late to watch the Oakland Athletics and the Seattle Mariners, our good friend Waldichuk will be on the mound, the left-handed pitcher for the Athletics, and Miller's going to be on the mound for the Mariners. Wait till you see some of his numbers. And granted, look at this price point here. The Mariners at a minus 290 favorite today at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total that's listed at 8. If we focus on Miller, his xFIP has been average for the past 30 days. His K percentage, 25%. But look at the splits here. And Oakland's not really known for their power bats. Weighted on base percentage to lefties, a 159. To righties, a 128. Look at the ISO. To lefties, an 061. To righties, an 038. Good luck scoring runs if you're the Oakland Athletics. And then even though the Mariners' profile doesn't really match up against left-handed pitching, it's still the A's. It's still Waldichuk. They should win tonight and win easy, Joe.
Yeah, no, I no argument there, Donnie. I mean, it was close last night, but I don't think it's going to be close here tonight. Maybe even team total up and over there, Donnie. A little Seattle, give me a little team total over, first five team total over, full game team total over. Just give me the overs. I'll take the overs with Seattle in every way possible. Yep, give it to me. And your same game parlay.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, because Kelenic's going to be in that lineup. And again, you're saying to yourself, okay, should be an easy, like minus 290 price points used to be like, you know, Randy Johnson going up against a tomato can. Yep. Like the Mariners aren't that good a baseball team. And again, don't profile that well against lefties. But the fact that they're close to a minus 300 favorite here tells you everything you need to know about the Oakland Athletics. Look at the lineup. Like you can say Kelenic, Suarez, and Rowley in the middle of that lineup have elevated ISO power numbers. Nobody else in the lineup does. But it's Waldichuk. Yeah, you heard it. It's Waldichuk. We'll see what happens. If you stay up late, we should get some runs here. But that'll do it for a Wednesday edition with Joe Ranieri. Came to play today. We got some picks. We got some same-game parlays ready to let it rip. Joe deserves the rest of the day off. I hope he gets the rest of the day off. Because for me, I'm going to close out this show coming up next with a short segment saying, can Boston do it?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for a Wednesday edition of the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Down your right side, Joe Ranieri powering through from 7 to 9 a.m. before handing it over to The Morning After and Ben Stevens. So make sure you stay tuned for the rest of your Sports Grid programming today. A lot of topics we went over. Also, getting a look at Major League Baseball, where some of the awards sit. Is Ronald Acuna going to be the runaway favorite for the NL MVP? Is Shohei Ohtani already a shoe-in barring injury in the American League? Some interesting points to be made across the board. And also, who's going to win the National League? Is it going to be the Dodgers? Is it going to be the Braves? Or teams like the San Diego Padres, the Philadelphia Phillies, who played for the pennant last year? Could they get hot over the summer, get healthy, and certainly make a run? Something to keep an eye on. And also, if we're talking about the NBA, yes, still talking about the conference finals, because why? the Boston Celtics actually won a basketball game against the Miami Heat. They will continue that series tomorrow up in Boston. Major League Baseball, a massive slate today, which includes a lot of day baseball and some good angles on totals that we previewed a lot of that card. So some really good stuff to watch out for. But every once in a while, we say to ourselves, are we in the midst of watching history play out live in front of us with the Boston Celtics? Listen up. Ah, yes, the Boston Celtics here. Marcus Smart said, hey, make sure you don't let us get one, because we'll be right back into this series, which technically is correct. It will extend it another game. But we anticipating four perfect games out of the Boston Celtics, raining three-point shots down. Now, the one thing I will say about the Boston Celtics with their backs to the wall, which they had against the Philadelphia 76ers, which included being down with about 4 minutes to go in Game 6. Jason Tatum woke up, they fought back, won that basketball game, and then pasted the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 7. It seems like they didn't wake up in this series at all until Game 4 in quarter number 3. But is that going to be good enough here? We played Jimmy Butler's post-game press conference here with him basically saying, like, no pressure on us. Just gives us a little bit more motivation. Will we see history with the Boston Celtics, or will we see that team break up in the offseason? We might know as early as tomorrow night. Stay tuned. The Morning After coming up next right here on the Sports Grid Network.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's chump.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.